Good morning, everybody. If you were looking to be on the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast, you've come to the right place.
Yeah, you have. And if you didn't, stick around.
Yeah.
You're looking for somebody else.
Forget it.
Yeah.
We're in the beautiful studios of the JS Online, where it's plush carpeting and disco ball lighting. It's amazing. It's too bad you're not here.
Yeah.
You're not all here to see it. Anyway, let's talk football. Packers football. Football, and more football.
Are they going to move the football down the football field, Tom?
They're going to move the football down the field. They're going to run it. They're going to pass it. And they're going to score. All right, that's enough of that crap. So, coming to this week, a couple of issues that we should address. Number one, always Aaron Rodgers and what his status will be.
Yeah.
So, did not practice Thursday. They don't practice Friday. And then they'll practice Saturday.
Yeah.
I would guess he's going to practice Saturday.
Yeah. I think Tom is going to say that this is the routine now. But I have a feeling this is going to be the routine.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, until he's at a point where it really improves, I think we're going to hear Wednesday, Thursday, rehab field, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then Saturday is okay. How's it feeling? Can he move? Can he protect himself? I think the news going forward is if he actually does participate on a Wednesday, Thursday, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. I think this is going forward until that knee begins to feel a little better, or perhaps not until after the bye week.
Yeah,
he will be limited to one day of practice a week, and they'll let him recover. It's not ideal, but it's what's got to be done. And what I thought was interesting was that both he and McCarthy talked about how the game plan each week is going to rest on how his knee is and how much mobility he has. Maybe there's a week when he feels like he can get outside the pocket and they change the game plan.
Yeah.
But then maybe there's one where he can't move around very much. Then what do they do?
Yeah, it'll be, and which is interesting because, you know, these coaches are just, it's all about planning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being ready and being prepared. And the idea that Mike McCarthy, Joe Philbin have to sort of craft either two game plans for the week or slight variations and then change it Saturday in the meeting rooms, and whether it's at home here at Lambeau Field or, you know, underneath the disco ball of the JS studios here.
That's
or
right.
On the road in the hotel ballroom walking through. I find that interesting. And obviously you have a veteran coaches and quarterbacks and they don't think it'll be an issue. But, you know, it may cause slight problems.
Yeah, adjustments
right.
is what I think. And there could be games when they have to change the game plan at halftime because either Rodgers isn't moving as well as they think or he's moving better and they can do some more sprint outs and rollouts and everything else like that and get him on the move because you want him on the move. That's where he's his best.
Right.
But he did. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I guess with that, I'm curious your thoughts on, so this week was our turn to speak to offensive, our defensive assistants, but the coordinators went again. And I asked Joe Philbin about the small sample size of situational football, red zone, third down. And it was interesting because he said, well, timing is off and rhythm is off and, you know, protection with the quarterback timing is off. We need to work on these things. And then you say, well, the quarterback isn't practicing. Well, you know, I mean, I know it's a small sample size, but I thought it was interesting that even they're trying to talk around that a little bit. And so maybe that's the adjustment. Maybe that's part of why it might take a little longer for those things to click.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, this week they're not facing a defense as good as the Vikings right. or the Bears. And that factors in it, too. I think they can probably protect a little bit better, although this defense is pretty decent. I mean, I think that they have the potential to put some pressure on Rodgers. And the offensive line's going to have to, you know, be cognizant that he's not going to be able to move a lot and that they might get a ton of pressure, a lot of blitzes.
Yeah.
You know, Washington's got nothing to lose,
no.
You know, after the embarrassment of losing right. to Indianapolis at home.
Yeah, it's I think, you know, now again, in context, playing Arizona and Indianapolis, to Arizona's dreadful.
Yeah.
I think 13 pressures or quarterback hits through 2 weeks. They've only got 3 sacks, so they haven't really gotten to the quarterback, you know, to bring him down.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, pressure is pressure.
Yeah.
Getting a guy off his spot or hitting him in some regard. So that's, you know, that's not, those are real numbers. Those are, and it's still Andrew Luck back there. I mean, it's not like Indianapolis was trying to not keep their quarterback, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
Whereas in Arizona, I think, I don't really know what you glean from watching teams play the Cardinals.
Obviously not much, because they looked like champions against
yeah.
Arizona, and they come home and then get their butts whipped by
yeah.
Indianapolis. So I think that that definitely was more of a realistic look at who
yeah.
they are. And then, well, we'll talk about defense, Packers defense, in a little bit. I think the other thing that we need to address with the offense is the return of Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
And I was watching practice today, or Thursday, and I thought it was really interesting that they first gave Jamal Williams a bunch of snaps, then they gave Ty Montgomery a bunch of snaps, and then they gave Aaron Jones a couple of snaps. It was almost like there's this hierarchy, you know, we're not going to loft this guy ahead of the other two
yeah.
Because he's been suspended and the other guys have worked so hard. And I'm like, bull crap. Just move that guy. He's the best running back they got.
Yeah. Well, that was just for you.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was. Maybe they're trying to stick it up my...
Well, yeah,
you know, I mean, what? Because I wrote that column saying they needed to run him.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, if, again, I think a lot of these things are calculated. So Mike McCarthy comes out and says that's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's behind the other two. So in the sessions open to us,
mm-hmm.
he's behind the other two.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I think if Aaron Jones, even if he's the third man in on play 9 of the first drive and it's an explosive run
right.
or it's an explosive catch and run and things this offense hasn't seen in 2 weeks, how do you take that away then?
I that would be beyond me, and I would have to grill McCarthy
right.
about that if they run him 3 times. Now, he's only played in 1 exhibition game. He was
yeah.
hurt for 2 weeks with a hamstring injury, but he's had 2 weeks to recover from any remnants of that hamstring. He should be in great shape. He should be fired up and ready to go. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't get 10, at least 10
yeah.
carries, 15 maybe if he's really running well.
Especially because this is not a running back is the workhorse offense.
Yeah.
It's not
sure.
like you're trying to work him in because here was a guy who was getting 25 touches a game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like so, yeah, you're right, at least to me. Why would you further limit an already limited workload, if that makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting that they're doing it this way, but, you know, the other thing is that they have only running backs have run 38 times, And they've had 87 pass plays. Yeah. So 87 to 38 is their ratio, pass to run ratio. You know, I asked Joe Philbin about that, and you know, I pointed out the first game they were in comeback mode against Chicago. But I really think this is where McCarthy has to be kept in check.
Yeah. Like,
this is where Philbin has to have his influence and say, you got to run the ball.
Right. I mean, they were up two scores in week two. I mean, it was reversed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, and the same, you know, it goes, you can't have it both ways. It can't be, well, we couldn't run it because we're coming back. Well, now you're up. Where's the emphasis to run? And I know we discussed this last week with that under 2 minute kind of drill there with throwing it in, instead of running, calling timeouts. But same thing on defense. You know, when Clay Matthews first week, well, it's hard to pass rush when you're down three scores. Well, you were up two scores and you still couldn't get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So those are things where you can't, at least to me, coaches can't lean on, well, this game was this way. Well, then you had the exact opposite the next week and you didn't do it. So you're right. I think, is Aaron Jones the answer? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I think he's more of the answer than Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery. Now, I'm not disparaging them. I'm just saying that Aaron Jones is potentially a special player.
Yeah.
He breaks off long runs, and they don't have a home run hitter. You know, the longest run this year is 16 yards.
Yeah. It in this NFL, Tom, I mean, it that is so game-changing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Minnesota's got that guy in Dalvin Cook to me. You know, they were robbed
absolutely
of him. You know, Detroit hasn't had that guy ever in Matt Stafford's career. Chicago, I guess. I mean, Matt Forte was a nice back for years, but he really wasn't. I mean, but even having him added an element that the Packers haven't had.
Yeah, I mean,
for a while, at least.
For a while with Aaron Rodgers.
Now,
they had
right.
Eddie Lacy, but, you know, that only lasted 2 years, right. 3 years. And this is a chance to get a team to have to commit to playing the run with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Right. I mean, that's
which is what you want.
I come from a division. I saw Le'Veon Bell twice a year,
mm-hmm.
and in 1 year, three times. That changes things. There's a reason those numbers come up in the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the thing I think about this that's interesting, Tom, is you know, yeah, you have the best quarterback in football, in my opinion. Just because you have, quote-unquote, balance, or you can give a running back enough touches to have 1,300 all-purpose yards, the numbers are still there. The quarterback is still going to be allowed to throw the ball a bunch, when you have that other option.
You're going to have a better chance for big plays, so you know, even if he's not throwing it as much, maybe you're still getting some good chunks of yardage. Okay, so those are the two biggest things that happened this week. From an injury standpoint, Kevin King, cornerback, he's not going to play.
Yeah.
Groin injury. We talked about this before. A guy can't stay healthy.
Right.
I don't know what they'll do. We'll see how long that lasts. My guess is that they'll play Jair Alexander outside and start him with Tremont Williams. I don't think they'll go with Devon House.
I don't think so either.
I think they like Alexander too much.
Yeah, he's, you know, Devon House dealing limited participant in the middle of the week with a biceps injury.
Mm-hmm.
Not that would affect his coverage, you would think.
No.
But no, Jair Alexander, I mean, you know, it's rare. I mean, coaches can be effusive, Tom. I thought the Packers, while on one hand trying to say it's early, I thought Joe Witt and you know, the secondary coaches were pretty impressed with the rookie corner and just how he approaches coverage.
Yeah, and I think we'll go to our favorite segment here with Mike Pettine talking about Jair Alexander, because we're not going to have to interpret this because it's pretty clear what he thinks. And really, we could play one from Joe Witt, too, where he compares him to some of the playmaking ability of his best corners, Charles Woodson, among, you know, Al Harris, amongst others. Yeah. So here we go.
Say what? Say what? Say what?
I thought they've handled it well. And we've said from the beginning that the only test left for them coming out of the spring and training camp was, were the games going to be too big for them? And I think we've certainly gotten that answer. I mean, if you just didn't know who was who and just evaluated our defense the first 2 weeks, you'd be hard-pressed to say that Jair's potentially our top defensive player, if not, one or two. Just his effort, his energy, playmaking ability, that he's he's been outstanding, and Josh isn't that far behind.
So now, one thing I will say about Alexander is that he likes to say that he has a short memory.
Yeah.
And so every time I ask him about a touchdown he gave up or a big play, he claims he doesn't know what play I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, I mean, literally, and I'm just rolling my eyes, you know, okay, you mean the one, and I should have just sat there and said, okay, remember the one where you're running down the sideline and Adam Thielen has a step on you,
right,
and the ball is thrown and you don't catch it or make a play on
right.
it, and Kentrell Bryce misses it. You remember it now? You know, anyway, I guess that's youthful. We'll excuse it for youthful.
Right.
I don't know what we want to call it. He's a millennial.
Yeah.
Not, you know?
Tweet, make sure to add him. Hey, tweet the question. Make sure to add him, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
know?
That's
and then,
right.
And maybe he'll see it and answer. I'll be honest, though. I do like his makeup in that way to a degree. I mean, you are out there. You are going to give up touchdowns. I think he can play, and I guess we'll find out, especially there's a difference in rotating in or moving over in game. How is the communication? Mike Pettine mentioned that in terms of why there was a breakdown over the top between Kentrell Bryce and Devon House against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that like against Washington? Joe Witt saying, hey, that's on film now. So teams are going to take those shots.
Yeah.
Washington has not been good pushing the ball down the field thus far.
No.
They have two new receivers in Breshad Perriman, failed number one pick. Michael Floyd, another failed first-round pick, right?
They faced Michael Floyd a number of times when he was with the 49ers, Bears, I think. He's been with a bunch of teams.
Yeah, Arizona maybe?
Yeah. Arizona as well, yes.
So, so those guys are kind of new to Washington, new in this scheme.
Yeah.
So, maybe they'll test. Hey, he's a rookie. Alex Smith has been around.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Richardson's been around.
It's interesting that Indianapolis sat back in a cover two the entire game, and Alex Smith just dunked.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Thompson had what, 13 catches?
Yeah.
They're running back. And, Gruden was criticized a little bit for not taking shots, and Alex Smith admitted afterwards that maybe they should have stretched the field a little, but he said there was nothing, the obvious stuff was not open because they were keeping their safeties back, which in that case, you got to run against the team, but they don't really have a I guess Adrian Peterson just wasn't having a good day. And their offensive line was getting ripped apart.
Right.
Indianapolis knew how to attack that defense. I mean, their head coach used to be in the division.
Right.
So.
Right. And that's, I think, a big key this Sunday, Tom, to me is will the Packers defense play four quarters? You know what I mean? Like, they've looked good at times the last 2 weeks. Obviously looked very poor at others. I don't know if Washington offensively does one thing well at all yet, other than Alex Smith isn't going to throw you the football.
Yeah.
So can the front four get a pass rush so the back seven can just sit back and don't have to worry about it going over the top. It's only going to be 6 to 7 yards. You tackle, you and you get out. Or can they somehow not? I mean, Adrian Peterson had a nice stat line week one with 96 yards, but then couldn't run at all against that cover two.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I guess I'm curious. To me, the things are lining up. Like, if this Mike Pettine defense is going to be what they think they're going to be, it needs to be shown Sunday, right?
Yeah. They need to whip Washington's offensive line.
Right.
The front four needs to whip them up. And maybe this is a game where Pettine finally blitzes, because he hasn't done a lot of it this year. He's kind of held back on it, and this could be the game when they do it. Matchups with their wide receivers, Josh Doctson, Paul Richardson. They faced Paul Richardson before. I'm relatively certain that Tremont Williams could handle that matchup. Josh Doctson, it's possible that Alexander will wind up on him. But the Packers have used so many different combinations of corners, linebackers, safeties, that you really never know who they're going to have out on the field.
Right. That could include Josh Jones for the first time. He's sort of back in a limited basis off the ankle.
I think he's going to play.
Yeah.
He looked to me like he was ready to play.
So it'll be, here's a question I have for you. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. So, Devon House is not Clay Matthews. I'm not going there necessarily. But you mentioned not blitzing. How long does Mike Pettine have to wait to determine that 52 can't win all the time on the edge and get to the quarterback and not get a flag because he got rid of the ball?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about some of these two hits these last 2 weeks. I think if it was 5 years ago. And that's not a knock on Clay. He's played a lot of football, and steps get lost the older you get. But you mentioned not blitzing. Well, when does the new defensive coordinator, who has no loyalty, or shouldn't, in my opinion, any of these guys, he's new. He's been brought here to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
When does he do things to help some of these guys make up that extra half step?
Well, that's a good question. And it could be this week. I'm sure they'll be more willing to attack weak offenses who can't handle the blitz. But I guess this is a good time to also talk about the penalty and the quarterback hit situation, which is really a subject of debate all through the league, because nobody seems to know how to bring down the quarterback.
Right.
But we saw in practice that they appeared to – McCarthy said they weren't going to teach anything different. And I thought I saw them tackling with their arms out and not wrapping and pulling.
Right.
I think they are going to start teaching them a new way to go after quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think so too. I was curious of okay – they've got these donuts for people who maybe haven't seen pictures since camp, right? Of, there's a donut and you tackle that, and then there's the dummy, tackling dummy, I guess, lack of a better word. The little boppets, right? when it pops back. And you're right, I a lot of linebackers, especially, hitting with the shoulder, but you're right, sliding over the player or the dummy with the arm, Superman style almost, we're just out, and frankly, a dummy is not a 225-pound grown man in pads.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can knock a person down if you hit them in the midsection, and you don't necessarily need to use your arms or the whole wrap-up. So you're right. I'm curious to see if one of these linebackers, Tom, does get a clean shot on Alex Smith, how does he finish?
Right.
Does he just sort of hit him and then let the momentum of it go? Or if he starts to
I forgot who it was. I was reading about someone, and they were saying that it's – what they're doing now is going after the arm.
Yeah.
So don't let the guy, you know, wrap him up, but just don't let him get the arm up, or, you know, somehow pin the arm, or don't focus on so much putting him on the ground as stopping his arm.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that is going to be the strategy for teams.
Until Tom Brady's rotator cuff is ripped, and then they'll change that. You can't touch the quarterback's arm with the ball until.
I'll tell you, I really did like Mike Pettine's response to that whole series when Clay Matthews got the penalty and the series got going, and he pointed out, I'm not upset about the penalty. I'm upset about how we played after the penalty. Yeah. And you know what? He's completely right. Yeah. I remember you said after the game, how many plays did they run after that play? 21 or something 21, like 31%
that? 31% of their offense was run after that penalty.
Exactly. And he mentioned that, you know, that they thought they had the game won, and then, you know, did they have the resolve to try to win it again? And they didn't.
No.
You know, they did not step up to the plate.
Yeah.
After that situation, and I thought it was really smart of Patton to say that too.
So is that, do you think, so kind of going back to, when do you meaning Mike Patton, realize what you have? So in that instance, is that now even a learning situation for him with this, of like, okay, can we scheme up a turnover but pressure? Or, you know, because, okay, our guys are slipping at this point, or it's late and we can't get to the quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have that guy. Nick Perry's not winning.
Yeah.
So let's create pressure.
It's not a slam dunk to do that. Actually, it's not really that smart to do it against the Vikings, because Cousins was getting the ball out of his hand, and he's got two really good receivers, and then they got a back who they dumped it out, you know, one time, and he I can't remember how many yards he got, but 20-some yards out of the backfield.
Right.
So you have to really pick your poison. Yeah. Now, he did blitz them. Jair Alexander had that sack when he blitzed him off the corner. You can do that. You could do it a lot of times, but when you've got Thielen and Diggs there, man, you can't do it all the time. You saw what they did when they weren't blitzing, so imagine what would happen if they pick up the blitz, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's where I kind of go back and forth, because I guess it is, you know, Arizona's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they still have Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson. Washington still has Jordan Reed. Like, there's always someone, right? Every team has someone that can burn you.
Guy, but not every team has three guys like they did, with actually four. You add in Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah.
So this is the week. This would be a week I'd expect him to go after Alex Smith. Alex Smith is a smart guy, and he can get the ball out, but, you know, he's also not a guy who's going to take a lot of chances.
Right. So, whereas I think Kirk Cousins, the ball that was intercepted, I think kind of shows that he's the guy who's more willing to throw a 50-50 ball, partly because of who he's throwing it to.
Yeah, no question about it. I also wonder whether they'll continue to rotate at inside linebacker. That's been kind of interesting with Antonio Morrison and Corey Toomer. Morrison is exactly what was advertised, which is he's not a guy who covers a lot of ground, but boy, he's physical.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets in there and gets in the hole and will hit people. And Corey Toomer is more of a cover guy, you know? So,
Oren Burks looks like he's coming back again. You know, Mike McCarthy, Mike Pettine in lockstep. Oren Burks playing special teams, you know, and I understand he's a rookie, and maybe that's more of a compliment to, you know, the safety play, or as you said, they're and maybe this week with Adrian Peterson, they feel a little better if Adrian Peterson somehow slips out to the flat, that Toomer and Morrison can actually run with that 35-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you have to remember that Burks's development was stunted with that injury. So he's ready to start against Oakland, and he hurts his shoulder in warm-ups, and he doesn't get the last two games, and now he's been out for a month. You can't throw him in there and expect him to play. That's, I think it's smart. But get him on special teams, get him lathered up, you know, and then gradually work him back in, see if he can handle different assignments. But he's the guy they will have to get on the field at some point. He's too athletic not to.
And at, you know, at some point, when he's ready, I mean, again, this is all, they say it's week to week, Tom, but I do think that there is, you do look ahead, and it's Washington. And while Chris Thompson, I think, is I think what Jay Gruden is doing is the wrong thing, personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be messing with Adrian Peterson with this. You have, we talk about Aaron Jones. Like, what, I don't understand what Jay Gruden is doing with his running backs there. I mean, you have a guy that you should just give the ball to. Mm-hmm. But they don't, so whatever. You can work Oren Burks in because Adrian Peterson is old and slower, and you have guys who can deal with that. I don't think Buffalo, whatever's going, LeSean McCoy's got broken ribs now, and clearly what's going on there isn't great. So you can kind of work in a linebacker who, if Oren Burks is, you can get that development going by the time you're going to need, to me, you have more versatile running backs and more versatile pass or short pass games tight end. You know what I mean?
I think you have to get him physically ready, though. That too, I mean, he hasn't hit anybody in a month.
That's part of it. I guess that's what I'm saying is you don't need him playing 80% of the snaps defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they'll play him at all, but we'll see. Yeah. That'll be interesting. A matchup that will be worth watching is Jordan Reed. I think they're going to get him tight end. They're going to get him involved. And Josh Jackson has been a guy who's been covering tight ends quite a bit. He had a number of assignments against Kyle Rudolph, and he had Trey Burton, and did a pretty solid job. He's a big, long guy who doesn't get pushed off by tight ends. So that'll be an interesting matchup to keep, you know, something to keep an eye on. As for just the game in general, Washington's, I don't know, so they, against Indianapolis, they listed 57,000 people as attending that game, and from all reports I've read, it wasn't even close to 57,000.
That's announced. Yeah, that's or tickets purchased, which is usually all of the comp tickets that they've given away to charities and businesses, and
And they're getting just ripped, you know. And this may be the Washington's fans' revolution, or you know, finally throwing their hands up and saying, we've had enough, Dan Snyder. Your tickets are $155 for nosebleeds.
Right.
You know, your stadium isn't that nice. Your team isn't very good.
Right.
Why are we going to these games? So I expect there to be a ton of Packers fans there.
I think they might have close to 65,000, but it'll be... I mean,
it could be half.
I could see. You're right. Because Packers, first of all, there's more of them. They travel, and if there's tickets available,
if people, you know, season ticket holders don't want to go, they're going to be selling their tickets.
Right.
And believe me, Dan Snyder would sell all his tickets to Cowboys fans if it came down to it. He wouldn't care as long as it's money in his pocket.
Right.
You know, that's just really a sad situation because they were a proud franchise for a long time
until
he bought them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And they've been, you know, this, I mentioned this a little bit last week, and look, Kirk Cousins played fine, whatever. But, you know, it's not like Washington was setting a world ablaze when he was the quarterback and Jay Gruden's been the head coach. I mean, they're a below 500 team and have been. They're just, they're a blah franchise. Frankly, Tom, I mean, this is a game the Packers should win.
Yeah.
And it's from, I think there's a coaching mismatch, and I think there's a talent mismatch, and they don't even have a home field advantage.
I was just going to say, is this a home game for the Packers?
I think it'll sound like it. You know, I don't think, and look, it's a yellow and burgundy color scheme anyway. So, I mean, there's plenty of yellow, you know what I mean, or gold that's it's going to look that way on television. I don't think you're going to get the traditional road, oh, this is an, you know, hostile or, you know, the noise is any worse.
Right. This isn't the Metrodome by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of there's no reason why they shouldn't win this game.
Yeah.
And if they don't, someone's got to be held under the lights for it.
Right.
Because this is an eminently winnable game and a chance for them to get healthy. So
in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
that run game and the run game and the defense and keeping the quarterback upright.
Yeah. So we'll see how, you know, what the crowd turns out to be like and what we see from the offense and the defense. Should be interesting week three. So be sure you join us. Join the live blog during the game. We'll have all the coverage of the game on Sunday. And if you haven't been on JS Online, get on there right now and PackersNews.com because we had a lot of stuff on the website. So, all right, with that, I'm going to start the music and say have a great weekend and see you after the game.